right. Thank you, Brother Tim. Actually, he's not shaking my hand. He's pulling me up on the platform. It looks nice. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 86. I want to give a public service announcement. It was announced this morning. I didn't hear it tonight, but there's a pamphlet in the back on Calvinism. 5 points. If you haven't read it, read it. You need to be able to face it. We crisscross the country and so on. That is the biggest attack on God's work that's going on everywhere. And Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches included, are falling prey to a new theology, they say, a reformed theology. And it's those things. So at least know what it is and look to it. Another thing, I was, you know, thinking this afternoon, the Veteran Administration have declared me 100% service-connected, everything that I have. And I was thinking about all the spending that our government does. I've got an ophthalmologist. I have an optometrist. I have a retina specialist. I have a surgeon that I report to. I have a primary care doctor that I report to. I have a podiatrist that I report to, and a team they call the PAC unit that takes care of people with leg problems and things that I report to. And I also have a nutritionist, a dietitian that I report to. I'm going to see my dietitian this week. I've had two dietitians over the last 2 years. One gave up in total frustration and handed me to the one that I have now. I keep telling them not to get up. But, you know, we keep hearing so much about government waste. I have a dietitian. You want to see what government waste looks like? Look here. This is government waste. I mean, at its maximum. You know, you pray for that dietitian. Son said, I'm not going in with you this last time. The last time I was in, she said, you haven't lost any weight. And you know what I told her? I'm a Baptist. Right? She looked at me, a Baptist. I said, you understand. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't cuss. We don't chew. We meet and eat. And so she took it really serious. And she began to analyze what we need to do as Baptists. And I'd sit there and listen. And she went off on it, you know, everything. But I did have a good experience with my grandson this week as I took him to a ball game and everything. And I'm always trying to teach him something that he can, you know, hang on and stick with. And I said, son, most important thing is that you always have something you can say that's the truth. And you can say it and people can count on that it's the truth. And he said, Grandpa, what's that? You can always look people right in the eye and tell them you're on your way to eat. And he said, Grandpa, that's all we've done all day long. You know, all the way including the ball game. I said, it's always true. I said, you may not get there. You may get sooner or later than others. Our associate pastor we had, I took him to a pastor's conference and I tried to teach him ministry is what you do between meals. So the more you eat, the more ministry you have. I'm trying to develop a new nation to see things in the right perspective. Well, back to the more serious, the serious, Psalms 86. You know, I think in our lives, as we realize our Christianity and our forgiveness and the love that God gives us, sometimes we may question ourselves as being even worthy to do whatever the Lord wants. And in Psalms 86, we find here a Psalm of David. And I want us to look at that Psalm tonight, and it really, really spoke to me about something. As often I do, I read through a passage of Scripture. Somewhere in that passage, it'll grab me, and I'll say, what did I just read? And I'll go back and look at it. So I want us to look at this for just a moment. Now, let's pray. Father, guide us through your Word. Lord, give us the meaning. Lord, give us the application. And Lord, give us the presentation that your Holy Spirit will honor in all of our lives. Father, help us as we look at your Word tonight. Lord, a short psalm in some senses. a powerful psalm in just a few of the verses. And Father, we ask you now, Lord, just to teach us, Lord, what it is that would please you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to these words, starting with verse 6 in Psalm 86. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Now, the Lord is the only one and true God that we can pray to and get answers. Amen. Verse 9 and 10. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and how glorify thy name, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Now, I read this verse, and as I was reading it and going through, get what David says here. David says he's talking to God. Amen. And he looks up and he says, give ear. It's pretty strong. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. Sounds like orders he's spouting, doesn't it? You know, the question as I read this, am I worthy to pray? Are you worthy to pray? When I caught these words, I'd already read, you know, down this far into the chapter. And David had already said some things, and as he said those things, I had to go back and look at it. And, you know, in verse 9 and 10, not only he says there in the first part, or in verse 6 and through 8, listen to me, God, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to tell you some things, you know, and ask that. But in verse 9 and 10, he expresses the fact that one day everyone's going to fall down and worship the true and the living God. Amen? He says, all right, God, I know everybody. But, you know, what made David, or what did David know, I should say, that made him worthy to pray? There's something that he knew that he could come with such a dynamic approach to the Lord and give prayer. And he let us know that that's what he had done, given prayer. Notice in verse 1, let's back up. What did David know? Verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Who's saying this? David. David who? The king. There's nothing he lacked. Anything he wanted, he could get. But when he stood before God, you know, we're approaching verses 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 now. But let's back up. Where we back up here? He said, God, I'm poor. I'm needy. You know, without God, we're nothing. It's God that gives us breath. It's God that gives us life. It's God that's designed our lives. We don't need to be displeased with who we are. God knows exactly who you are and what you're doing. And what you're doing is just as important as what the next fellow's doing. If we're in the center of God's will. Amen. God didn't make us all kings. He didn't make us all mechanics. He didn't make us all theological doctors, you know, he didn't call us all to do the same thing, but he called us as his church. He called us as his people. And what we do is important to God, but what we have to realize that David knew that made him worthy to pray is that he knew he was nothing without God. I may be the king, I may have everything, but when he got before the throne and he knelt down to talk to the true and living God, he said, God, I am poor and I am needy. You know, because you have things, and I could say because you have everything, and because you're nourished and you have accessories and you have financial flexibility, you know, in the end, all of that is nothing. Amen? You know, I'm every week. Last week was the first weekend forever. Remember, I haven't been to a VA appointment of some kind. But it picks up from here on out. But haven't been to one. I go in and I see folks in some terrible shapes. And we sit around and we talk to these folks. And you know what? They'd give anything for their health. Well, when your health's gone, what, everything's gone, right? As long as there's health, there's hope. But let me tell you something. Without Jesus, there is no hope. You can be the healthiest person in the world. It doesn't matter. You're going to hell at the end of it all if you're not His child. And David knew that he was poor and needy, and whatever stature he had in this life was null and void when he stood before his God. That what he had because of his God, and he realized the fact that it wasn't his. He's just a steward of it. Dick loves me so much, he approached me in the hallway and said, "Listen, I want to tell you about the greatest thing ever. Here it is. Gave me that phone number. I'm going to use it. Gave me the phone number." He said, "You can be buried for $300, you and your wife both, at a government cemetery." I like that. $150 a piece? Okay, that's good. But you know what? I've had a lot of funerals. I haven't seen anybody take anything with them. You know? And you only wear out what the undertaker puts on you. I get curious all the time. I want to look in there and see if they got shoes on. None of them ever have shoes on, you know? Some of those guys don't even have pants on, you know? That's when I quit looking. But, I mean, folks, let me tell you, you take nothing out of this place. We are poor and needy, and without God, nothing we have are you going to take with you. And when we approach the throne and realize we came into this world with nothing, we're going out with nothing, but God has so blessed. I'm the steward of three vehicles at our house, and there's two of us. I'm the steward of a lot of tools that I inherited from my dad and ones I've collected along the way. I have a set of golf clubs that I don't use very often. My son wants me to give them to him now before I die, but he said, "I'm going to get them anyway, Dad, you know." But, you know, I mean, I'm just a steward of a lot of things. And I thank God for them. But they're not mine. They're God's. And we need to take care of them. You know, what made David know that he was worthy to pray? Look at verse 2. "Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trust in thee." The first thing he starts out with, even though he mingles all this in the same phrase, same statement, "I am preserved." You know what? David knew that he was preserved in the Lord. He knew that he was preserved in heaven, and one day heaven would be his home. You know, God tells us in His Word in Ephesians 4:30 that we're sealed, preserved until the day of redemption. And then God takes us home. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, the miracle of salvation takes place. God covers your sins, past, present, future. And you have a home in heaven because you're a child of God. Certainly, you know, we want to talk about, but certainly we want to have a loving Heavenly Father that we hope would be proud of His children. We need to be good children. Amen. And He tells us what He expects of us, and that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, He knew that He was preserved. You know, that's important in our salvation. You need to know that you're going to heaven. It gives you faith. It gives you courage. It gives you an outlook that the rest of the world doesn't have. It covers up fear that other folks run from, you stand in front of. You don't know why, it's just that, what difference does it make? What are you going to do? As I've said from this pulpit, I've told folks many a time when they were angry at me, "You can kill me, but you can't eat me, that's against the law." So, you know, have yourself time, I'm just going to enjoy this whole life. Boy, when you're preserved, you know that God has you and you're immortal till He's finished with you. So David knew that. And he knew that salvation was a daily thing. "You preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusts in thee." You know, that salvation that we're talking about here, that salvation we're seeing, when God saved us, we have a home in heaven. Amen? But salvation is also a daily thing. We're saved, but we're still in the flesh. Amen? And we have to fight that flesh. And you know what? God is there to give us insights. I see people do things that they would never do without God. I see people say things they would never say without God. I see people go places and do things they would never do without God. Because, you know, as David knew here, that I've got a God that walks with me and talks with me. And I can trust Him and I can be there. And it's a daily thing. Lord, when I get up, I didn't 54 years ago say, now I'm saved. Okay, that's it. I'm waiting to go to heaven and not talk anymore. I get up every morning. And basically before I swing these legs off the side of the bed, I have a little talk with the Lord. God, this is a brand new day. I really don't know what You have in store for me today. There are some appointments on the counter, but nothing that You can't change. And Lord, if by being with people that have problems or people that don't understand and come to me contorted state would be a blessing to You, or if I could share something with someone that would be a blessing, or if there's a situation or a problem out there, Lord, would You bring it to me and let me be used by You, Lord? But Lord, this is Your day, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And then I'm ready to roll out. Start the day and see what's going to happen. Generally, I have a schedule. I've got a calendar that I carry around with me, and, you know, it stays pretty full with appointments and people to see and things to do. Nothing that God can't change. But it's His day, not my day. And I want to structure it according to His will, not my will. And David knew that. David said, this is a daily thing. This is, save thy servant. He already knew he was preserved. He said, save thy servant. I need help every day. Save me each day from myself, because I will not make wise decisions left alone. I need Your word. I need Your guidance. I need Your Holy Spirit within me, talking to me, speaking to me. And God, sometimes I'm very hard hearing. So, you know, Lord, be patient with me. And you know what? The wonderful thing is, as I'm saying those things, I'm really reassuring myself of the things of God, knowing that, yeah, He has all those qualities and He does all those things for me. And David knew that. And that's why he could say, give ear, O Lord. I'm about to position Your throne. And when he had already made his prayer, of course we know now. But look in verse 3. What did David know that made him worthy to pray? Look at verse 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily. He had a daily talk with God. You know, we can say what we want, but God will speak to our heart if we'll ask Him to. And David knew that he was worthy to pray, because this was not just a, help me, O Lord, I know I haven't talked to You in 2 weeks, but boy, I'm in trouble now. Help me out. God, if You've ever helped me now. No, it was a regular thing. It was a common experience with him and God. And I certainly would not demean the holiness of God by any manner, but aren't you glad that he says we can call unto him Abba Father? You know, I've been told by the Bible translators that Abba Father was left in there, but it means daddy. It's a very affectionate term. Abba Father, daddy, daddy. You know, I've got a 30-some-year-old son, and we communicate constantly. He calls me at least once a day. He calls his mom. Our other kids do that. And we started a bad habit when they left home. We got an 800 number. Told them, if you ever need, just call us. And they started calling us every day. Well, now they don't use the 800 unless they got these cell phones with unlimited minutes. But they still, once they got in the habit, they still call us and talk. And, you know, sometimes call us, say, Daddy. Sometimes I've heard a hurt in his voice, and he said, Daddy, I need to talk to you about something. Man, he had my ear. Amen? That son says, Daddy, I need to talk to you about something. You know, I love my God. I love the Holy Father. But I love the fact that I can lift up my voice and say, Daddy, I need you today. I need a little guidance. I need a little wisdom. Lord, I want to honor you. Lord, I've got some things I'm dealing with. And you know what they are. And this is what they are. And I need your guidance, Lord, and help. And I can feel that he's on the other end of the line. And I go away with confidence. That spirit comes within my heart. My daddy said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And you know, David knew that. David felt worthy to pray because he didn't just call upon God in the rush of an emotional need. But he said, God, I want to talk to you because I cry unto you daily. Sometimes communication is crying. I mean, tears will come. And you know, sometimes just the very thought of what I'm sharing with you now as I think about it, I can't keep from having some moisture in my eye and just thinking about that Abba Father. David said, I cry unto you daily. Now remember, we started off at the end of this prayer when David ended and said, Father, give ear. He pretty well laid some groundwork, didn't he? God knew what he meant. You know, what did David know that made him worthy to pray? Look at verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. He said, Father, rejoice me, be with me. You know what he says? I have a daily walk with you. Not just a daily talk with you. Father, it's good to know that you're there. Don't you just feel that surge when you're involved in something you've asked God to be a part of in your life, and you just feel His presence with you. You know, in those times of sorrow, you feel His shoulder, His hand upon your shoulder. In that time of I can't go any further, I can't do anything else, you feel God just picking you up. And as we've seen the poem about the footprints in the sand, He's carrying you. You're moving along, and you may not recognize it right away, but it's God that's moving you. It's not you, because you're wore out. You know, I'm thinking of wore out, so I'm thinking along the lines. I want to tell you something, and this is not for empathy in any way, but you know what? There's a consistent pain level and things that I'm at one another. Do you know when I'm in trouble of walking and things, and when I'm out, I have to use a wheelchair and things. But you know when I walk into a pulpit, my wife tells me, says, it's like nothing's there. It's like you're fine. All the things the doctors have poked those pins in you, and all the stuff that they've had to straighten up, and all the surgeries they had to do, and they tell you that you've got so much pain that you got to take Oxycontin, baloney. Said it may happen someday, but I'm not taking it now, so don't prescribe it. But we need to. God will tell me when that's going to come, but it ain't now. But you know what? There's that time when you know you're where you ought to be, doing what you ought to be doing, and you know you can't do it, and God just is right there with you. It's fun being where God is. It's fun, you know, walking with the Savior. It's fun walking with the Father. And that's why David could pray like he prayed. He knew he had a daily walk with God. I would not have made a good Jeremiah. I mean, if God didn't allow me to see souls saved along the way, He's just good to me. But that's, you know what? That may be pride. That may be resume stuff. I don't know, in some circles. But you want to see fruit of your labor. I'm sure that's all it is. And you want to see some things, but you know, the reality of it all is to know that you're where God is and know that He's right there beside you. Boy, you know that. That's exciting. What did David know that made him feel he was worthy to pray? Look at verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He knew God was always ready to be good. He knew God was already to be forgiving. I certainly don't want to take that for granted and use that, you know, and as Paul wonders, you know, what shall we sin? Will we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he says. We don't want to take it for granted. Amen. But we're still humanity. We're still people. We're still real flesh. We're still humanity. And we've got to give that to God one step at a time. It does get better. God promises it will. But it's like anything else. It comes through exercise. It comes through strengthening by doing those things. And David acknowledges in this fifth verse that your forgiveness and your mercy, all these things are so plenteous unto everyone that calls on Him. Isn't it good that we have a forgiving God? Amen. Isn't it good that we can break down our own humanity and realize that we are poor and needy, as David began his prayer, and realizing that it's not what we think that others think about us that makes us who we are. It's what God knows about us that makes us who we really are. And that who cares what anybody else thinks if it's not pleasing the Lord? Because sometimes when you're doing things that pleases the Lord, it makes people angry at you. And you're not on the politically correct list. But God does promise when your ways please the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you. You know, what we ought to want to do is do things that would please our God by praising Him and confessing to Him and testifying for Him and going out telling other folks about Jesus and about salvation and having a daily walk and a daily talk with Him and getting His direction and the things that He wants to do. Because he knew that God is always ready to do good for His children. Don't we want to do good for our children? Amen. Those of us that are parents, oh yeah, we do. God is no different. He wants to do that and forgive. And we are all in need. And we need to realize that we are all in need. And we need to get ready for the things of God. We're all needy. And we need the things of God. We need the love of God. We all need to be ready for His love. And we started in verse 6 through 10. And that's when David says, after he says all these things that we've looked at in his prayer, give ear, O Lord, give attention to me. You know what? Because he said, I've got some real needs. Answer my prayers. I know you will. If you start out in verse 6 saying, my goodness, God could give ear to me, listen and answer my prayer and do this and this and the other. See, he had already done his homework. He had already appealed to God. And he'd already said, God, I walk with you every day. I talk with you every day. I'm nothing without you, God. God, you're always good and you're plenteous to forgive. And God, you're there for me and you've saved me and you've preserved me and you save me each day from my own self. You save me from looking like I'm lost. Because you redeem that flesh and you teach me what the right things are. And I do things that I wouldn't do if I had not received you as my Savior. I was talking to a fellow and I told him just today we were talking about a subject. And I said, you know, I really have had to say some things to some people over the years. And one of the things that I've had to say because of police chaplain 5.5 years and some rough crowds that I've been around in at the legislature even. And they've been in my face and my flesh was to its wit's end. And I wanted to be a good Christian. And I've had to say, the best thing that ever happened to you was I got saved. Because I would have already ripped your head off by now, had I not been. That might not be a good Christian. But I was letting you know, I'm not violent. But it's only because I'm saved. I'm still a human being. And I add by saying, forgive me for being in the flesh. But it helped me to keep from doing what I really want to do. And I know you all don't deal with things like that. You have a pure heart and it doesn't bother you. But, you know, I have to go back to where David started. I'm poor and needy. Spiritually and physically, I am nothing without God. And, you know, we need to say, Lord. We need to say to ourselves, am I worthy to pray, to talk to God? Once I understood David's heart about this matter, I realized I needed to recognize who our God really is. Amen? And how much we really owe Him and who we really are. And David spent, to me, 5 of the most beautiful verses explaining his personal relationship in salvation, in service, in walk, in talk with his God. And then he poured out his heart. You know what? I think there's nothing that would grow the church more than God's people pouring out their heart. Pouring out their heart to God, pouring out their heart one to another. Praising Him for His love. Praising Him for His forgiveness. Praising for His benefits. Not being ashamed of the God who gave His only begotten Son, that you and I would not have to pay the price of sin. And that we would be instruments of God on this earth and do great and mighty things. And Jesus said, even greater things than I have done, you will do because I leave the Holy Spirit and because you are left to do those things. Our God didn't lie. The only reason we're not doing them is because we're just not practicing those things. We practice them and they'll come to fruition. They'll be real. Amen. Tonight, weigh in the balance your life. Can you say as David, I know I'm preserved. And God, I know you save me daily from myself. Boy, and I'm going to heaven, he said. I'm preserved in heaven. And if you have that, praise Him for it. If you don't have it, receive it tonight. And then we as God's children, I believe it would be good to sort of pattern some of these things that David learned. And David had some wickedness and David had some failures. And God still said He's a man after my own heart. Because you know what? God looks on the heart. Not on how we're acting on the outside. I've seen a lot of vile, wicked people dressed in suits and ties. And I've sat on the street corner with some very wicked people who were punching themselves with needles, opening little folded wraps of tinfoil, sniffing some powder out of them, that knew how wretched they really were. I had much more comfortableness sitting on that curb than I did with that vile person that looked good in the crowd. Where are we? You know what? God tells us and He knows where we are. We need to give ourselves to Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight that Your Word is filled with encouragement and examples. And Lord, Your Word is filled with instruction. And Father, Your Word is filled with empowering thoughts. And Father, most of all, it draws us through the Holy Spirit to want to come to You unashamedly, not worrying about this one or that one or whatever. And in a public place, in a church place, in a workplace, be thankful for a loving God like You. And tonight, Lord, we open this altar in Your name. And Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, Brother Tim.